grace the stage of the Warner Theater on Friday, September 27th. Info available at warnertheater.com.
Attention jazz and creative music fans. On Friday, September 27th, New York meets DC when pianist Matthew Shipp's trio performs on a double bill with Washington's own pianist and bandleader Janelle Gill and her trio at the NYU campus in downtown DC. Matthew Shipp will also stick around after the concert for a question and answer session with the audience, moderated by Bushmeat Sound System, aka Dr. Thomas Stanley. This concert on Friday, September 27th, is presented by Capital Bop. Tickets and more info can be found at capitalbop.com. That's CAPITALBOP.com.
Hi, I'm Danny Glover, and you are tuned into WPFW Washington, your station for jazz and justice.
Good evening. It's just about 6 p.m. in the nation's capital. The name of my show, or this show, your show, is News Views on WPFW 89.3 FM in Washington, D.C. You can find me online, Garland Nixon on Facebook, Garland.Nixon on Instagram, at GarlandN on Gmail. That's GarlandN, Garland, and the first letter of my last name, which is N. Email garlandn at gmail.com. As you know, I take calls. The number's 202-588-0893, 202-588-0893. But first, a word from the great Muslim scholar, Shahid Bolson.
Well, I think that probably the difference between my critique and maybe the critique of others who criticize the West is that I don't really differentiate between colonization and imperialism and racism and white supremacy, feudalism, neo-capitalism, and so on. I don't differentiate these things from each other, and I don't differentiate these things from the culture and the character of the West itself. All of these things are manifestations of Western character. That's what drives these policies and these practices and these ideas. They're all just versions of each other. For instance, the same colonizer mentality is actually applied across every arena in the West. The mentality of exploitation of others' resources and the dehumanization and subjugation of those whose resources they are while feeling completely entitled. You see this across every sector in the West. And it doesn't matter if you're talking about minerals or precious metals or gems or crops or what have you, or if you're talking about labor, or if you're talking about talent and creativity. These are all natural resources. And it doesn't matter if you're talking about these resources being in another country or being in your own country. The point is, they're not your resources, and you exploit and pillage and profit from them, and you marginalize and subordinate the actual owners of the resources. So, I mean, look at America. Whatever cultural, unique cultural contribution that's come from America, it's come from the poor, from the underclass, from African Americans, from poor whites, from immigrants, and so on. From gospel music to blues music to R&B, to jazz, rap, and hip-hop, and so on. And then on the other side of the coin, bluegrass, country music, rockabilly, rock and roll, and so on. All of these things came from the poor, from the working class. And from John Steinbeck to James Baldwin, your best writers all emerged from poverty and deprivation. Historically, the same goes for most of your acclaimed athletes, your entertainers, and your performers. And then your style and fashion and slang and everything. Creativity has always come from the poor. The rich mine the resources of their talent the same way that they would mine copper or lithium or gold and then profit from it, enrich themselves and claim it and act like it's part of their own greatness. You claim these talents and creativity as American, but the people themselves, whose talent and creativity it was, were all people from a people whom America abused and treated like nothing. They came from people who your society and your system treats as if they have nothing to contribute. Yet their contributions are the only things that gave you any kind of culture at all. They don't represent America. They overcame what America did to them. And even still, more often than not, they died penniless. This is a colonizer mindset. You know, record producers, agents, lawyers, publishers, what have you. These groups of talentless leeches who feel entitled to get rich off of the creative resources of others. They're exactly the same as colonizers, who feel entitled to get rich off of the raw minerals and the natural resources in, say, Africa or Asia, the Middle East, Latin America, and so on. It's the same mindset. You yourself offer nothing. You contribute nothing. You create nothing. You just exploit and use and devour. It's parasitic. It's the feudal system, just manifesting in various ways. And this runs throughout the whole so-called civilization. You can even see it manifesting on an individual basis. I mean, to one degree or another, individuals of a society or of a civilization are just fractals of that society, of that civilization, which is why you find so many Westerners who are mediocre, materialistic, greedy, entitled narcissists. And they even approach interpersonal relationships with a colonizer, feudalistic, self-supremacist mentality. Main character syndrome, they call it. This may be where your whole so-called crisis of masculinity comes from, to be honest. Because none of these attributes of your so-called civilization are masculine traits. But that's another topic for another day. The point is, the same thing drives all of it. Drives colonization, drives racism, drives white supremacy, drives feudalism, drives neoliberal capitalism, drives neocon warmongering, drives union busting, drives exploitation of artists, on and on and on. It's the fundamental character flaw of the West. And they built their whole so-called civilization on the foundation of that flaw. It's the misassignment of value, or in a word, materialism. The idea that having and controlling resources is, in and of itself, success and superiority. And by extension, having and controlling other people's resources is admirable and is to be justified by whatever rationale is most effective. You know, I said narcissism for a reason, because this is different from egomania. Someone can have a big ego but not be a narcissist. A narcissist knows deep down that they're not special, and their self-obsession and their vanity is just a camouflage for actually feeling a low self-worth. They're mostly mediocrities. And what's a mediocrity? It's a person who's lacking the natural resource of creativity and talent. So you could say that they are resource narcissists because they are naturally resource poor. They want to be resource rich, meaning that they want the resources of those who actually have them. Again, whether this means raw minerals, labor, talent, ideas, what have you. They want what they don't naturally have. And they want to be perceived as having that more than anyone else. So again, because in reality, they want what they don't deserve, they have to project upon the resource rich that they are undeserving. So stealing from them is justified, because it just means that you're righting the cosmic wrong of them ever having had the resources in the first place, because obviously everything should just belong to me. We're essentially oppressed because our oppressors are mediocrities. And they can only feel special by subjugating those who are special. Wallahi, the story of the West and the Global South is basically the story of Cain and Abel writ large.
All right. Good old Shahid Bolson, 202-588-0893. There's a lot going on. We got callers. Before I go to the calls, numero uno, remember that when you call, keep the phone to your ear. Do not set the phone down and listen to the radio or listen to the computer and wait for me to call, because there is a delay. There's a 10-second delay. And when I call you, you won't hear me for 10 seconds unless you have the phone to your ear. Also, keep your mouth closed to the receiver. Make sure that you make sure that you speak clearly. No speaker phones. All right. Thank you very much for going along with that. Before I go to my first caller, I'm going to read something to you, because something happened this week. Israel apparently attacked Lebanon using pagers and using radios and things of that nature. They blew up pagers, thousands of them. There was upwards of a couple dozen people killed and literally thousands injured. And they set up pagers that were sold all over Lebanon and just blew these things up randomly. Killing doctors and blinding healthcare workers and children. Let me just read, before I go to my callers, one story of what happened to a 9-year-old girl as a result of Israel's attack on Lebanon. Fatima was her name. Fatima was in the kitchen on Tuesday when a pager on the table began to beep, her aunt said. She picked up the device to bring it to her father. and why and was holding it when it exploded, mangling her face and leaving the room covered in blood, she said. Fatima was trying to take courses in English, Mrs. Massawi said. She loved English. And now she's dead. And now Israel, they think that's a war? That's a war? What they're doing is a war? Slaughtering and murdering. I'll say this before I go to calls. And people wonder why I have the attitude that I have towards this filthy system of American imperialism that goes around the world robbing and stealing and genociding, and Americans think they're on some kind of a luxury liner when they're really on a pirate ship. And I'm supposed to be scared of Donald Trump and vote for somebody because the person who is persecuting and prosecuting the people of the Middle East is somehow better than Donald Trump? I'm supposed to pick one of these clowns? One of these ghouls? I don't think so. You do what you want. I got to sleep at night. I will not. Look, it's one thing to tell me to pick the lesser evil. It's another thing to try to convince me that evil is good. Evil's evil. And I will not be a party to that. You do whatever you want. I don't care how scared you are of Trump. If you're so scared of Trump that you got to vote for that, you go right ahead. I'm not telling you not to. If you want to vote for Trump, you go right ahead. If you want to vote for Jill Stein, I'm not telling you what to do. I'm just trying to say that this system that produced Harris and produced Trump and produced all of these ghouls and produces this brutal, vicious, child-killing machine, it needs to change. And if you think somehow that I'm going to vote for one of these because the other one's going to destroy the system, I'm not the guy trying to save this system. You got the wrong man. I am not. I've said it before. I ain't the cure. I'm the disease. I'm the one telling you this murderous, thieving system is rotten to the core. Don't ask me to try to save it. It needs to be changed. It doesn't need to be. It doesn't need to be reformed. We need revolutionary change, not some reform, not some tweak, not a different manager of a Holocaust system that goes around the world slaughtering people, particularly brown ones. 202-588-0893. First call, you're on the air. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
This is Rick calling from Germany, brother.
Brother Rick. What's happening, my man?
First of all, I want to share with your audience that most of the smartphones and cell phones that have been invented and mass-produced are filled with batteries or real explosives.
Yes.
Batteries that will explode, that can be triggered to explode, or full explosives, as what was done in the Middle East. This can be done with anybody's phone because they're produced and designed like that. The people making the phones don't know what they're making because they're given parts to simply assemble. And the parts that are they're given are put together somewhere else, and they're given to assemble. So my phone gets warm, and I'm not blind. I'm not ignorant to the fact that America and Germany are warning me about my speech on talk radio, various stations.
Well, how about this, Brother Rick? And I want people to look up the Galaxy Note 7. It was a smartphone, right? And the Galaxy Note 7, you know what they had trouble with that? Exploding. The batteries were... Everybody, don't believe me. Look it up. The Galaxy Note 7, because I had one and I got a recall on it because the batteries were exploding because they would overheat. You know what? See, these lithium batteries, guess what? They can... These lithium, all of them can explode. You know what that means? That means they don't have to put explosives in it. That means that they can basically like send many, many, many messages to your phone and overheat the battery and it'll blow up. People don't realize we're walking around with a bomb in our pocket that if they really want to, they can blow your phone up.
I disagree with you, brother. I think some of the phones can be mass produced with high explosive in it and sold to people deemed a threat to the West.
Well, let me tell you, brother, nowadays it's getting obvious that if you're saying what they don't want you to say, if you're listening to what they don't want you to hear, your freedom is in jeopardy one way or the other. You know what I'm saying, Rick?
Let me say in closing, brother, Islam is not the threat to America. Terrorism is a threat to America, and we have stroked that terrorism by trying to out-terrorize the terrorists. Those new attacks are coming, and I pray that most Americans don't view Muslim people as all participating in the terror war that's going on right now.
Thank you very much, Rick. 202-588-0893. More callers? Nope, we have no, we don't have further callers. So let me continue. So what, you know, we're at a place now, if I look at it, we're at a place now where I think Americans are very much divided. They're trying to figure out what's going on. We've got a group of people that are afraid. They're frightened of all kinds of things. And oftentimes, they're frightened by the information that they're fed, the information that they're given by the mainstream media. They're always trying to make you afraid. You got to be afraid of somebody in another country that's coming to get you. Why? The Russians are coming to get you. The Chinese, the Iranians. So there's always somebody thousands of miles away that's going to get you. Right? You ever notice that? It's never the ruling elite. Should you be afraid of Congress passing a bill that's going to hurt you financially? Nope. Should you be concerned with being arrested or them coming after you for taxes that you made a mistake? Nope. You should be afraid of some leader in another country that you will never see that has nothing to do with you. You'll be afraid. Remember Saddam Hussein? Let me say this. Oh, it looks like we've got another call. Let me get with the number, 202-588-0893. I remember this. They literally, and you can look this up, they took a picture of these. They look like wooden planes that Boy Scouts or 4-H would make, right? And they said Saddam Hussein could take these. They called them drones. They were wooden planes, little wooden planes. And he could release them off the coast of the East Coast with poisonous gas and get us. And I'm like, but he don't have a navy to get here. How's he going to do that? Saddam Hussein. In hindsight, those who were afraid that Saddam Hussein was going to use weapons of mass destruction to get them, think about that. How preposterous and absurd it was. We're afraid of Saddam Hussein. He's going to get us. How long did it take to defeat the army? 2 weeks? You're supposed to be afraid. But remember what Iraq had? It had the second largest oil reserves in the world. That's what you need to be afraid of. That's what they was afraid. We found out at some point later that Dick Cheney and his crew, the one who's just, I guess he's a Democrat now, that Dick Cheney and his people had a map of the oil fields in Iraq that they had drawn up for different which different country was going to get that. So they sent your sons and daughters to Iraq to die so they could divide up the oil amongst their rotten, filthy, criminal, crooked friends. And they'll do it again if you let them do it. And they're setting you up right now. Every thing overseas that they're telling you should be scared of. My enemies, don't tell me my enemies are in anywhere other than on Wall Street. My enemies on Wall Street. My enemies are in Silicon Valley. My enemies are in Northrop Grumman and General Dynamics and Lockheed Martin. That's where all my money's going. That's why we can't have decent schools. That's why we can't have decent roads. That's why we can't have decent infrastructure, because they got to build another bomber or another bomb to slaughter innocent people with. So please don't come to me pointing overseas or pointing at immigrants. Oh, the immigrants are going to get you. Putin's going to get you. China's going to get you. Iran's going to get you. Well, the only ones that I find getting me are right here in the United States. 202-588-0893. Next caller, you're on the air. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Yeah, Mike from D.C.
Talk to me, Mike.
Well, the one thing I had to say, man, that about the Israel, they introduced the most deadliest form of warfare that I ever seen, though, man. Exploding those pagers and those walkie-talkies.
Randomly. Think about that, too.
It's even better than the drones. This is better than the drones. So, to me, it's more... I mean, I heard about this before. I had an old soldier guy that I wanted to give a cell phone to. He told me he didn't want it. And I said, why? He said, because it's nothing but explosives. And this was about 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
5 years ago, he told me about this, and I didn't believe him. And I'm like, wait a minute, what do you mean it's nothing but explosives? He said, yeah, it's nothing but a time bomb. What? I didn't believe him. Until when I saw what Israel did, I'm like, damn, and it just reminded me of what this old soldier told me 5 years ago.
Yeah, and you know, let me say,
amazing though.
And think about the treachery of that, man. Think about taking something and putting it out into this city right now. Small electronic devices, children. You know, think about this. You see now people hand their cell phones to the child, and the child's playing a little games on them. They help their little, which the children are always playing these little games. Think about how treacherous you would have to be in order to put bombs in those things and put them all over Washington, D.C. So when somebody says, the child wants to play Angry Birds, here, give it that, boom, blows the child to smithereens, blinds them, blows their hands off. What kind of human being would you have to be to do such treachery? And then you, and wait a minute, and I'm supposed to be scared of Trump, and you're standing around telling me, oh, yes, Israel has a right to defend itself. That's defense? Slaughtering children, that's defense?
Well, you know, you got to be more worried about the cell phone, because I heard a smart TVs can do it. Anything with smart technology is capable of being, you can put a bomb in it. So it just make you very alert. And I heard a guy on BBC said that. Yeah, he don't want none of that smart technology in his household.
They want to shoot you, they'll shoot you. Let us not be misled. You know what I'm saying? It's not like they got to be. Ask Fred Hampton. It's not like they got to be discreet about things. If it's time, if you've, they feel like you're in well, the way, they don't have to be discreet.
That's right. Because with today's technology, anything is possible right now. But did you see Oprah Winfrey when she was hosting an event for Pamela Harris? I was like, what? He got all these multimillionaires, and I'm like, that they can't relate to the regular poor, working poor person. And it was just the most laughable thing that I've seen so far. And I'm like, okay, you got to go to celebrities in order to get people to want to vote for you. Then you got a problem.
Well, you know, here's the thing it's become. It is this. She's black and you're black. So therefore, you know, Oprah's black. You should listen to her. Well, you know what history tells me? Why? Why should I? You know what? I'll put it like this. I would listen to a white person who changed transmissions, who was in the working class, who swept floors for a living. I would listen to a white man who worked his butt off to make a living before I'd listen to a billionaire. Why? Just because she's the same color as me, she is a billionaire. She is not looking out for me. Don't try to go, hey, look, she's black just like you. She's a billionaire. She don't give a crap about me.
Well, you know, when you look at another sad thing that I'm really getting sick and tired of, especially the black radio, is still going out in the mainstream news media. It's still going at the young men who do not want to vote for the Democratic Party. Nobody has a right to tell. You're not going to tell a young man who he should or should not vote for. That's not going to work. Just like they did, the younger generation, these young men are doing things their way. It's the same thing that the older generation did in their era. They did
exactly
their own way.
You know,
to tell these young soldiers who they should, you're disrespecting your own people.
Well, here's the thing, Mike. You got young people now, right? They've been through a different world. During COVID, when they shut everything down and people lost their jobs, 40% of all black businesses closed, right? Young people were hit the hardest. And now you're going to tell the young people that the system that threw them under the bus, the system that gave them that now. I remember, I'll never forget, when I first started at community college, in Anne Arundel Community College, right? They had something called, I forgot what it was called, but it was basically free college. I basically signed up, and my bills were paid to go to college, and they put money for books. We used to have free college in the United States in some manners and ways, right? And now you're going to put these young people in debt for the rest of their lives for college. You're going to destroy them. No future, no hope to be better. And you're going to tell them they got to support the very system that threw them under the bus.
Yeah, but see, everything what you're saying is true. But they're not specifically targeting just young people. They're targeting young black males. That's the problem that I got. You know, they're specifically calling them out on that because they refuse to vote for Pamela Harris. And I think it's wrong that they're doing that, especially when I'm hearing it from black radio. And black radio, she's no better to do that because what they're going to do is that they're going to alienate these young men. And then when they really want the young men to come together to support any of their causes, they're going to tell them to go, you know what, themselves. You can't blame them for doing that.
All right.
I just think it's a mistake for them to keep targeting specifically young black men. That's the problem.
Thank you very much. Right. 202-588-0893. 202-588-0893. Next caller, let me just say this. Everybody that knows me knows this as I say this. I don't disrespect anybody. You can vote who you want. If you want to vote for Jill Stein, if you want to vote for Kamala Harris, if you want to vote for Trump, that's fine. It's all right. I don't care who you vote for. I respect your right to choose who you want to. Be an informed voter. Understand what's going on with the system. Understand the policies. Ask whoever you're voting for, I want to know your policy. WIIFM, what's in it for me? If you can't tell me what's in it for me, don't ask for my vote. That's all I would recommend. But even then, if you just want to vote for somebody because you like the color of their hair, that's your business. I'm not going to disrespect you. 202-588-0893. Next call, you're on the air. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hello?
You are on the air?
Yeah. Hey, my name is Atta from Washington, D.C.
All right.
Hey, let me ask you a question. This war going on in the Middle East with Israel and the Palestinians, let's assume Israel is able to conquer the Palestinians completely. Then what happens? What, they are going to enjoy just living in that piece of land with nobody but themselves, and that's supposed to be happy? I mean, the sad thing I heard this week was a medical doctor was abducted by the IDF and died in jail.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's happening constantly.
With America. What? I mean, so a thing like that, they don't see it. Brinkley doesn't see it. When they kill Rachel Corrie, America doesn't see it. When they killed an American right now, I mean, what is wrong with America? Look, people have to understand, America only fights for their interests. I'll give you two examples. If people don't know, when the war in Vietnam was getting serious and Ho Chi Minh and the people were coming to Hanoi, America left. When the Taliban were getting close, America left, and recently we saw people running to catch a plane that is about to take off. So if the Israelis don't know, when the Arabs get their stuff together and they corner the Israelis, believe me, we might be dead and gone. America will leave.
Let me say
that is their MO all the time. America doesn't leave. America doesn't stay to the end. When you kill 5 Americans, 10 Americans, that's enough for them. Russians, Chinese, they don't do that. So Israelis have to take a lesson. Have peace with your neighbors and stop throwing all these bombs, because the tide would definitely change when Americans and the West will say, enough, we're not going to send these weapons anymore. By then, they've created so many enemies, there's nothing they can do.
Thank you very much. 202-588-0893. Next caller, you're on the air. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Silver Spring.
I'm all ears.
Oh, gosh. Thank you. I'm not going to discredit any of your other, you know, hosts of some of the other programs. But I think that actually, this is a very beautiful time that we're living in. And one in particular is, you know, when you start looking at our community, particularly the African-American community, and some of the other people that kind of espouse the tenets of the Democratic Party, I think that the beauty of it all is that many of those people are counter-revolutionary. And it's very, very clear. And
I think that I you probably don't get a lot of this, but I just want to commend you on this show, the show that comes before you, Jackie Luke, Mon, some of those that come earlier in the day, particularly Miss Adebayo, Marsha Coleman Adebayo. But these are some of the few hosts, as well as your show on the Sputnik Radio. I think that needs to be recognized, too, because you are consistent. And I just encourage you to continue to be consistent and honest and genuine with your beliefs and genuine with the people. But I also think it's just as important for us to also recognize those within our midst that are counter-revolutionary, because they are disingenuous, mm-hmm. and they don't mean anything good to our community. So I just leave with that, and thanks for taking my call.
Thank you. 202-588-0893. Next call, you're on the air. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hi, this is Tabu calling from Washington.
Brother Tabu, what's happening?
You and the people. I heard you speak earlier. I think I heard you say the country is divided. Is that correct?
Well, yeah, it is very much divided. Always has been. I mean, there was a civil war that killed 13% of the population. So, yes, the country's definitely divided. Definitely always been divided. What are your thoughts, Brother Tabu?
Well, I'd like to know, would you like to help bring it together?
Oh, wouldn't I ever? And I'm sure you're going to tell me how.
Well, let's join the movement MAP, Make America as Perceived, according to the Declaration of Independence. Life and liberty, the pursuit of happiness, and government is supposed to protect our life and our liberty. Can't kill nobody, and you can't enslave anybody. But it did it. So let's repair what is broken. So we talk about the problems, but I like to talk about the solutions.
Okay.
So let's start by answering one question at a time. Do we have bad government? What would you say, yes or no?
Yes.
Then let's correct the government. So the movement now to get rid of the deep state, the people that's behind it, all that bad government, you got to get rid of it or you're going to have the same thing. You put different people in there, but the same system. It's a corrupt, rigged, illegal group of criminals. So let's correct the government, repair our government. That's the reparation movement, not just cash alone. We must repair our government first.
You know, one thing I'll say, Tabu, though, the only thing we'll disagree on, maybe not. When people say the deep state, right, here's what I say. Get rid of the word deep. This is just the state. This is the mechanism that's there. A president comes in. Remember the word. The people think the president was meant to be in charge. The word president, the root word is preside. Preside over. There is an imperialist, brutal war system that goes around the world stealing people's stuff and committing genocides. And the president's job is to preside over that system, not to control it, not even to guide it. That's the intent, right? And so what we call the deep state is the state. This is what the machine really is, not the fake head not the mask that this thing puts on it with a smiley face that tells us we're standing up for human rights. Oh, look at that country. They're violating human rights. You ever notice the only countries that violate human rights, according to us, according to our government, are the countries they don't like.
Well,
if they like a country, oh, no, they don't violate any human. Israel's not violating human rights, slaughtering men, women, and children, but they're not violating human rights. Only the countries we don't like. Go ahead. And we got a couple more callers, so I got to ask you to wind it down.
Look, right, not human rights. We want to deal with constitutional rights. Human rights are not enforceable. It's soft law. Let us go back to the Declaration of Independence, our founding principles, and make us sovereign again. Our sovereignty has been taken from us, allowing the criminals to run the country. We don't send people to war, just as you correctly pointed out. We get our sovereignty back. Then that president, Congress, all listens to us. But we must get our sovereignty back first. So let's make the country as perceived. Let me ask you this. Is anything prejudice or discriminatory in the Declaration of Independence?
Nope.
Okay, let's use it as a guide. That's what it's there for.
All right. Thank you very much, Tabu. Appreciate the call and appreciate the support. 202-588-0893. Next call, you're on the air. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
This is Eddie.
Hey, what's happening, Eddie?
You told me to hold.
Hey, Eddie, do you have, like, the radio on in the background or something?
Oh, okay, I lowered it. I was listening to it while I was waiting.
Oh, go ahead.
Oh, hi. I was interested in the Israel-Palestinian issue that you were just discussing.
Okay.
So this is how I look at it, okay? I mean, the wrong is wrong. It's as simple as that. My point that I'm trying to make is, sometimes, let me make this analogy. If you can beat me up, or if you think you can beat me up, okay, but you have, or you see my dad or somebody stronger than me behind me, it's up to you to be wise and know how you're going to go about a situation. Okay, I do not support what is going on in Palestinian right now, Palestine right now. It's on call for. Everybody has to be sympathetic towards it. But sometimes when we are talking about it, we have to advise both sides so that whatever the cause was does not repeat. That's all I want to say.
All right.
Thank you. Make it look as if, yeah, you see what I mean? Yeah, that's all I got.
All right. Thanks a lot. Certainly appreciate the call. All right. Next call, you're on air. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
My name is Robert Moses. I'm calling from Fort Washington, Maryland.
Robert Moses, great to hear from you again. What's happening?
Not a whole lot. I was just thinking that, you know, we have to have a broad, united front against fascism, and that we have to unite with the democratic-minded people, the socialist-minded people, and the communist-minded people in the united front against fascism. And Trump represents the fascist forces. And so, you know, philosophy is no mystery. One divides into two in terms of the duopoly.
Let me ask you a question. Because I see things different. So do you think Donald Trump represents fascism and Harris or the Democrats represent something different than fascism?
In words and deeds, it's what it's all about. And Trump, in words and deeds, represents fascism.
And like I said, so my question is, so you feel that the Democrats and they don't? Or what do you think about them regarding fascism?
I think that we are struggling for a new democracy, which is socialism, and that the struggle involves, concrete analysis of concrete conditions. And Kamala Harris, it's not a fascist. She's a Democrat. Bourgeois democracy has always been in words and not in deeds.
Well, when you look at what they're supporting in Israel, when you look at what they're supporting in Gaza, a literal genocide, that's not fascism?
We gotta move Kamala Harris to the left.
So you think that what they're doing now, that someone, first of all, let me say this. When Joe Biden got elected, what did they say? We got to move him to the left. Let's elect him and move him to the left. And Joe Biden said, yeah, you're going to get free community college. Didn't get it. Oh, you're going to get health care. We're going to give you a public option. Didn't get it. Oh, we're going to do something about student loans. We're going to forgive all student loans. Didn't get it. So Joe Biden came in, and what they said was, we have to move him to the left. And he did not do one single promise. How was that plan to move Joe Biden to the left? Zero. He moved to the right. Kamala Harris now is supported by Dick Cheney and the Republicans. Today, an article came out. The Ronald Reagan staffers. Look online. The staffers of Ronald Reagan now come out and say, we support Kamala Harris. Is that to the left? They are moving to the right, and they're committing a genocide. Is that moving to the left? To me, if I see somebody with a hockey mask on and a meat cleaver hacking an innocent person to death, I don't believe that I can somehow turn them in to some kind of a kind and gentle person. In my opinion, you can have vanilla fascism or chocolate fascism, butter pecan fascism or strawberry fascism. But to commit genocides and murders, and they lie to the American people with propaganda, and they persecute American people who just try to help themselves and just try to say what they believe is true. The Democratic Party is just a different flavor of fascism. But the idea that I can take these genocidal murderers and that I would want to try to take a genocidal murderer and move to the left, I won't get in a room with a genocidal murderer for fear they'll try to murder me too. Go ahead.
You can judge the extent of emancipation in society by the extent of emancipation with female sex. And reproductive rights are on the line in this election.
Oh, no, they ain't. No, they ain't. They already made the decision. The decision's already made. And let me add this. The Democrats had the votes when Obama came in 2009 to codify Roe versus Wade, but they didn't do it. On several instances, but they didn't do it. And people said to them, hey, you got enough votes in the Senate. Go ahead and codify reproductive rights once and for all. They didn't do it. You know why? Because they would rather run on it every 4 years because that's all they got. They're doing nothing for you, nothing for the black community, nothing to help anybody. The country's falling apart. They're starting war after war, and they're committing a genocide. And then they're going to say to us, yeah, all that other stuff is true, but what about reproductive rights? Guess what? 2 years ago, they said, vote for us in the midterms, and if you do, we'll do something for genocide, for reproductive rights. They did nothing, nor will they ever. That's all they have left to lie to us. But you know what? I got to respect you if that's I'm sorry for getting carried away because you know me, I'm sick of these people lying to me over and over.
I'm not debating you. I think what you're saying is true. It's a complex world. Politics is a complex issue. And, we have to see the threads that run through the fabric in order to know how to unravel the fabric. And right now, the key issues are reproductive rights and women's equal rights amendment.
You know what? Here's the way I feel. I'm going to tell you the truth. I feel like the Democratic Party are telling us those are our main rights. I'm scared that these lunatics are going to start a nuclear war and kill me. And we're all going to die. I'm watching a genocide. I will not have the ruling elite tell me what the major issues are. Would they look, turn on CNN and MSNBC. You know what they'll say? The number one right is abortion and whatever for the ruling elite. You know why? Because if you're rich, it doesn't matter whether abortions are illegal. If you're rich, you just go to another country or another state. You can always get one if you're rich. What do you care? They don't care. This is the language for the poor people. We're supposed to ignore the fact that we can't even afford to live anymore, that the price of rent, the price of food, everything is going through the roof. You can't feed your children. You can't put a roof. People are homeless. And when we say, hey, we're homeless, no, that's not the issue. It's abortion and this and that. And they tell us that our issue is not that they are making it impossible for a working person to survive. I say those are the issues. And we got to get sick and tired of the ruling elite telling us what our issues are. You get the last word because we'll get ready to jump to another caller. Go ahead.
Well, I'm just supporting lift the sanctions off Cuba, get them off the state sponsor of terrorism list. I'll leave it right there.
Thank you very much, my brother. I appreciate the call. Yeah, think about it. When I turn on the TV and they tell me the number one issues, they've told me who the number one issues are, not me. When they say, oh, you should be afraid of this country or this leader or that, they're telling me who my enemies are. Ain't nobody telling me who my enemies are. Ain't nobody telling me who my issues are. And then when somebody says to one of these leaders that's running for president, what about this issue? They just change the subject and babble and go on back to what they want us to vote on. You know why they want to vote us on that stuff? Because they're not going to do anything about it. They ain't going to do nothing about it. Go ahead. Next call. You're on air. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Yeah, this is T. Berry from Upper Marlboro. However, on the street now on a phone. I just wanted to say this. The bombs that were in the phones and the devices, pagers, or whatever, it's just a symptom. Israel has looked bad. They have not just like the United States has looked bad. If they can't bomb the place completely clear, then they don't want to get in man-to-man fighting with anybody, and especially Hamas. If they can't take on and do what they say against Hamas, they cannot do it against Hezbollah. I don't think it's anything except the usual thing. We want to kill people from far away where they can't kill us. It's the very cowardly things they want. They want the oil off of the coast or the gas off of the coast of Gaza. And this is, and they want all the territory for people. But they do not want to take it in a honest way. And they don't want, they know they can't take it in an honest way. So they're trying psychological warfare. They're trying to get people to believe that they're that smart that they can kill them in a new way from a distance. They can't. With the new modernization of the missiles that the opposition has, the resistance has in this area, I think both the United States and Israel is in big trouble.
You're right. That was a terrorist attack is all it was. It was a terrorist attack on innocent, indiscriminate terrorist attack on innocent men, women, and children. You know who carries a lot of pagers? Doctors and people in the medical industry. So you attack the medical industry. You attack children and families, blowing up pagers. What a horrible crime.
Yes, they also did it because they don't want to carry regular cell phones because they've been tracked.
Right.
And targeted because of their cell phones. So they thought maybe that they could, since people were not carrying their cell phones, military people, they would get a disproportionate amount of people who are setting up to fight them.
Mm-hmm.
But it didn't work. They're going to lose.
Yep.
And it would be the end of Israel and the United States and Israel and in Africa. So I think it's the end of our era here. And it couldn't come faster.
Listen, all right. Thanks a lot. Let me read something from you from midterms. President Joe Biden promised Tuesday that the first bill he sends to Capitol Hill next year will be one that codifies Roe versus Wade if Democrats control enough seats in Congress for Biden to sign abortion protections into law. In a speech designed to energize his party's voters just 3 weeks ahead of the November midterms. If you care about the right to choose, then you gotta vote, Biden said during remarks at the Howard Theater. That was midterms. Oh, man. If you care about Roe v. Wade now, you got to vote for us in midterms. Did you see any bills afterwards? Did you see what happened? You know what they did? They won what they could win in midterms. And now that it's time to vote for president. Hey, abortion, there you go. Roe v. Wade. They don't want to fix it. It is something they can use to get votes every 2 years. They can promise you, like Lucy with the football, I promise you, if you just vote, if they could click their fingers, it wouldn't get them any more votes. And not only that, you can't pay your bills. You can't pay your rent. Eggs, milk, everything, chicken wings are too expensive. Are they saying anything about that? No. You know why? Because they ain't going to do nothing about that. They have no intentions of doing anything about that. Next call, you're on the air. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
I'm calling for something, Southern Maryland, down in Pomfret.
All right. I'm all ears. What's happening?
Hey, I like your passion on the show. I like listening to your show, Garland. One thing I'll say is you got a lot of callers talking about Palestine and Israel. And I'll just say one thing about that conflict. It's been the British mandate Palestine, and now it's the American mandate Israel. I mean, they're essentially the United States. I mean,
yep.
There's no separation between the two. And so I do agree that we're an imperial nation in the sense we're formed in the image of Rome and Greece, and we are Western in that case. But the idea that only Western civilization is imperial is a little bit disingenuous. I mean, there's no nation around the world, and even in the East, they've always been empires: Chinese Empire, Persian Empire, the Indian
there's
Empire.
Keep in mind something. I'm gonna let you talk. There's a difference between an empire and imperialism.
No, there's not.
Oh, okay. There actually is. But that's
empires,
okay.
Empires engage in imperialism. That's the whole point. I heard a caller call up earlier, and he was saying that you're very consistent between your two shows. So being consistent between the shows is fine, but you need to be consistent in the argument. So the argument, if you don't like imperial colonialism, when it comes to an empire or a nation that's being imperialist. I mean, how can you have that view and side with Russia? Russia's obviously being imperialist right now.
I disagree.
They're entering another country.
I disagree.
They obviously are. They entered a sovereign nation, and they're taking it.
Okay, hold on. Don't hang up. Can we have a brief conversation?
Can we have a brief conversation
about that?
All right. I've already got it.
Here's my point. If Russia were to come to Mexico, overthrow the government of Mexico, and start building bases, and start arming
Cuba.
Let me finish. And then I'll let you talk. And then start saying to the Mexican army, we're going on the offense against the United States, and start putting in missiles in Mexico.
Or Cuba.
The United States would say that's not going to stand. And the United States would go to war. The United States overthrew the government of Ukraine, installed a government, and immediately started building bases and setting that government up for war with Russia. I'm going to tell
politics.
You right now.
That's politics.
If I were the president of Russia, I would have did the same thing. If you
but
were the
politics,
president of Russia, you would have did the same thing. If I was the president of the United States and Russia or China started doing that
line.
In Mexico, I would attack
line.
It. There is no country, no superpower in the world that's going to allow another superpower to overthrow a government in their border and start building bases to attack them. That's
well,
not imperialism.
They didn't overthrow it on their own. There are people in Ukraine that wanted to join NATO.
But you
that's
admit
the
that
truth.
They overthrew it.
Well, I mean, it's politics. So
no, it's not politics.
Yes, it is
You're
politics.
Not allowed to overthrow other governments.
They encouraged the revolution.
Oh, that's not true.
That's called
politics.
That's
not true. That's simply
There's
not true.
There's a thin line. There's always a thin line.
There was no thin
politics.
Line.
There's a, no, listen to me. There's a thin line between politics and war. Politics is warfare without violence is essentially what it is.
I understand that.
Yeah, Russia's got egg in its face because it got angry and it jumped the gun. It went
no,
into
he didn't.
Country.
No, he didn't.
Yes, it did because they couldn't beat them politically. They
That's
couldn't
not,
resolve
okay.
it politically.
I understand what you're saying, but let me ask you this. Isn't this true that before Russia invaded Ukraine, although there was already a war going on in Ukraine, they joined
a
the war.
Civil war
but isn't
a civil
this true?
War, a civil
isn't
war.
Isn't this true?
Going on.
That Russia sent a list of things to the United States and NATO and said, we would like to negotiate a security agreement with you. If not, there could be, quote, military or technical response. The Russians even sent a document and said, we want to negotiate a settlement. And the United States' answer was, no, that's not even a consideration. What else
so
were
Biden,
they supposed
so
to
you're
do?
Saying, you're saying Biden allowing that transcontinental pipeline was not negotiating.
I don't know what you're talking
pipeline.
About. Allowing what?
The pipeline was finished. When Biden came into office, he took the sanctions off, and the pipeline between
was
Germany and Russia was
finished. The pipeline in the United States? What?
No.
What right did Joe Biden have to go 5,000 miles across the ocean and tell
politics.
Germany and Russia what pipeline
politics.
They're supposed to have? No,
that's
no.
Politics.
I don't want to hear that's politics.
It.
Did the United States, let me ask you this.
Okay,
does Germany,
warfare.
Wait
it's
a minute. Does Germany have a right to come over here and tell the United States what they can do with a pipeline with Canada?
Does China have the right
no,
to come
No, you didn't
over
answer my question. You didn't answer my question.
Do. Of course, it's politics. They
so,
can invest in our country.
So Germany has a right.
They want.
So wait a minute. Germany has a right to tell the United States what they can do in a
they
pipeline.
They could build one. They could build
why
one.
Why won't you answer my question?
Yes, because they could build it. They could invest
well, do
in
you
a
want to answer my question?
And build it.
I said,
That's
does Germany have a right to tell the United
yes,
States?
Of course they do. Because
so
we're
Germany
a free
has
nation.
A right to.
We're a free nation. We take money from the
You're not making sense.
Bidder.
You're
no,
not making
I do.
Sense.
We're a free nation. You can come over here and build a pipeline if you want.
I didn't
you
say if Germany could build a pipeline. I said, do they have a right to tell the United States whether we can build a pipeline? Can they say to the United States, no, we don't want you to build a pipeline
well, we
with Canada?
On Russia, not
can
Germany.
Germany do that?
We put sanctions on
Why won't
on
you answer
Russia
the question?
Because we didn't tell Germany not That's, to do it. We told Russia not to do it.
Can Germany tell Canada not to do it? What gives us the right to go to other countries and tell them what they can do between two
Darling,
sovereign
you know,
nations?
Of course, if you put it in, if you have a right to do anything, do you have a right to do anything in this world? If it
They're sovereign nations. Do we have a right? No, we don't have a right to tell Russia. Now, talk about imperialism. So now you think the United States? So now you think the United States has a right to go to a sovereign nation, Germany, and a sovereign nation, Russia, and tell them how they can do business with between each other? Well, my friend, we disagree.
No, because I'm agreeing with you that we're a Western empire. But I'm also saying that Russia is an Eastern empire.
I'm saying that they're not. We got 900 bases around. So we got 900 bases around the world, right? How many bases Russia got?
I have no idea. I'm not Russian. I don't have any investment
Russia. But we got 900 bases, and they're the empire.
But they have a lot of bases in Ukraine now.
Let me tell you something, and I'll tell you this right now. If Russia started building bases in Mexico, we'd attack them. And if I was president, I'd attack them. And if you were president, you'd attack them. Yeah. Tell me
no,
you wouldn't attack
I'm
them.
I'm not for that imperial action.
You would. So you think
that.
you would let? Well, why is it that the United States can say that if Russia starts putting missiles in Cuba, that we'll have a nuclear war, but we can put missiles on their doorstep? Ain't no country going to let that happen, brother.
Because we're two empires fighting it out.
No. I said, why is it that we think we can do it, but they can't? Not that we're two empires.
Because
that's two different things.
Because we're stronger than
so
they
it's,
are.
Oh. So
I
it's
mean,
if you have
this,
more
it's like
power.
Deer at
you
a certain point, it's like deer hunter.
So if you have more power, you can do whatever you want because you have
it's
more. So
right.
That's the law of the jungle, ain't it?
Yeah, but it's not right. But what my point at the beginning of this was is there's no difference between an empire and empire. You can't have two very strong empires. One empire has to be stronger than the other.
Well, I certainly appreciate it. We're just about out of time, but I don't see. All I can say is this. If I was the president of Russia, I'd have did the same thing. You come to my border, you got a fight on your hands. That's what I do. And if I was a president of the United States, I'd do the same thing. You come to my border, you got a fight on your hands. And we're going to Taiwan. And you know what? We're going to have a fight on our hands because Taiwan is not going to allow America to keep pumping weapons into there. I can tell you that right now. And I don't blame China when they do it. All right. Well, that was fun. Okay. GarlandN@gmail.com is my email address. At GarlandN on Telegram. GarlandNixon on Facebook. Garland.Nixon on Instagram. I want to thank my main man, Kalia, for doing a fantastic job. As always, we're out.